What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 128 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined for the what seems like the first time in forever, Joey. I feel like we don't talk anymore. I feel like you just don't want to be around me. You don't want to hang out anymore. I am joined by the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
John, life is good. It's just been super busy for both of us between events, mm-hmm. and then I was out of town, and then you had some other events come up, and here we are. We're finally back. I feel like it's been, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks?
It's been too long, Joey.
It's been too long, that's for sure.
I haven't seen you IRL. I haven't seen you via Discord, via podcast. It's been too long, Joey. I don't even know if I can do this podcast anymore. I'm not even sure how to do this. Nation, make sure you follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at the Level Up Podcast. That is at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're on Twitter, go ahead and shoot Joey and myself a follow on there as well. That's Joey at Courtside King and myself Fiasco. If you are watching here live on Twitch, welcome to the Twitch channel. Welcome to Twitch chat. If you are listening, if you're watching on Twitch, see, look, I'm already struggling. Those handles are directly below our mugshots right here that you're looking at. What's up? Right there. Listen on the podcast later on down the road. You can find those in the show notes below. Nation, the battle of online gaming stores is heating up after one platform buys a major studio that created one of the most popular games on Steam. That hot topic is just one of many of this week's episode of the Level Up Podcast. Joey, what else are we touching on this week on episode 128?
John, on top of that, we have a lot more funding coming in for esports. We just continue to see money get thrown around, more coming in, both in Europe and NA here that we'll touch on. Other than that, we have a hint at where the Overwatch League Grand Finals will be for this season. We are talking new stuff coming to Xbox, in particular a new controller being made, and more.
Oh my, Joey, that is a ton of topics. A lot of hot topics, a lot of spicy topics. So, Joey, we're going to need assistance of our drink of choice. So for the 128th time, sir, your drink of choice to help you get through this episode.
John, I'm going with an Angel's Envy bourbon.
I feel like that's like back-to-back-to-back weeks for Angel's Envy.
No, it's not. I had water, I think, last week. And before that, it was wine. But yes, I'm back to bourbon. I still have a bottle to work my way through. You're welcome to come over and help me work my way through it.
Oh, my gosh.
But for now, we're going to do it on the episode.
Oh, Joey, I may have to take you up on that offer. I may have to give my liver some time to recover after this past weekend. But, Joey, I am having in my amazing Winter Classic Cup from when the Capitals took on the Chicago Blackhawks at Nationals Park, which was really cool. That is a Coke Zero with Bacardi Lemon Rum. Splashed in there as well. Joey, we're both going fancy. You have a fancy glass. I have a souvenir cup that probably cost me $15 and I'm reusing for like 8 years in a row now.
Your cup probably cost more than my glass, to be honest.
It probably did. It's really the sad part about it. But Joey, we have our beverages. We have our topics. Let's waste no more time. Let's get right into gaming and esports news. Let's go.
Kicking things off, John, we are talking about the EULCS, formerly known at least. Now it is, I just forgot.
The LEC.
You can tell we haven't been here for 2 weeks. That's right, the LEC, formerly known as the EULCS. Rogue is over there, and they did not have a very good start to their first time being franchised in the EULCS, or the LEC. Wow, this is going to be a fun show. But hey, Rogue did terrible. They're at the bottom of the standings. Now they have decided to part ways with their assistant coach, Edward. John, I think this is a good move. Edward overall brings a lot of veteran experience to the table, but obviously Rogue just was not able to get it done in this first season. I think making a coaching switch could be a good move, as well as some players maybe moving as well.
Yeah, generally the first line, if you will, whenever your organization needs to make a change, they're not playing the way you want them to, the organization's not going the direction you want it to, they're not performing in the league the way you want it to. Trading players is fine, but if the underlying problem is the way they're playing, the way they're training, the way they're just spending that time together, the way that they're thinking, like their game style, you have to go to the coaches. You have to be looking at that front office. You have to be looking at a way to shake things up. This is a great start. Rogue did struggle quite a bit, like you said, Joey, in the LEC, but this may be a step in the right direction, and I agree with you. I do think players moving might be the next step here. After the assistant coach parts ways here as well. I'm kind of curious to see who they're going to be bringing in. I'm kind of curious how long it's going to take them. Are we going to be looking at a mid-split hiring here for their assistant coach? Or are they going to try to do it just with a head coach, a team manager, someone who does the analysis? It's going to be interesting to see which direction Rogue goes with this move.
And we do still have some time. I think they have, 3, maybe 4 weeks even. So they do have some time to try out coaches, get people in there. At the same point, I'm pretty confident they're going to switch out their mid laner. Larson, a very big talent over in the EU region, probably a top three mid, if not top three player coming up. I think he's going to move into the mid lane. Now that he's done with schooling, he's going to look to be a dominant mid laner in Europe. And I think he's going to be right up there with Caps, right up there with Nemesis, right up there with Nuke Duck. I think he's going to be a really promising talent. And because of that, I'm curious if they go for maybe a mid lane style coach to continue to bring this young player up and give him some more veteran talent in that mid lane region, as opposed to Edward, who was a support player when he played. So that's my thoughts. But from there, let's move on to partnerships, because we are sticking with LEC teams and European organizations here, with Fnatic raising $19 million to expand its global esports brand. Entrepreneur Lev Leviev of Level 1 Group led the round, with support from investors including Barangaea, Blackpine, Unbound, and Joy Ito. So a lot of big name investors, especially in that European region, not as much American investors going in here. At the same time, Fnatic being one of the legendary organizations over there in Europe, this is a great move for them, $19 million coming in. The latest round of investment for them will be used to structure the company for further expansions, looking to move their brand further into Asia and North America in particular, while also continuing to partner with other global brands, as we've seen them do with Deezer, for example, in the music world, with all of these other brands that are very new and up and coming as they continue to build their brand in unique ways. And I think moving to Asia and North America is the next big step for Fnatic in their global domination, if you want to say. So I think that's a really good move there. And on top of that, they're going to continue that lifestyle esports move as well, where they continue to build upon Fnatic gear like we've seen with the keyboard and the mouse, as well as the headset that they've made multi-use. So it's not only a gaming headset, but you can also take it on the subway, listen to music, that kind of thing as well. So I think we're going to continue to see Fnatic apparel continue to expand as well. Are you excited for the continued outreach of Fnatic, John?
Oh, yeah, especially in North America. I can't wait for them to come in and try to challenge all the established North American teams just because their name is Fnatic. No. Cloud9, TSM, Liquid, just to name a few, won't put up a single, ounce of fight with Fnatic's invasion. Look, North America fended off the Redcoats once. We can do it again. It's as simple as that. Fnatic, your colors might be orange, but at the end of the day, orange could be classified as shade of red. I don't care. It's just red with a little more yellow in it. As far as I'm concerned, Team Liquid, Cloud9, and TSM, let's all unite and take down Fnatic. I'm cool with this.
I feel like this move has to be somewhat researched, though. I mean, they've opened a U.S. stock, U.S. shop. They've done exclusivity for their keyboards and mice through Best Buy. So I feel like they've slowly been branching their way over here. And I do not see them overtaking a Team Liquid, a Cloud9, even a TSM, of course, the big one over here, in a lot of people's minds. I don't see them overpowering those brands. But I do see this as an option to reach out to more Fnatic fans located in the U.S. to continue to expand their products in particular. Whether you're Cloud9 or Team Liquid or TSM, you can still use Fnatic gear at your PC. So I think options like that will continue to expand, and they'll continue to move up their lines as well as their apparel. If they can break into certain apparel lines, I really could see that breaking off too.
I feel like that's the one place Fnatic really should focus if they do expand further into North America. Their apparel line and Fnatic gear. Fnatic really has a leg up when it comes to their clothing line, because we see Team Liquid starting to dabble in it. We see 100 Thieves, they're kind of dabbling in it also. Cloud9's kind of sitting back a little bit. They're not really going too gung-ho when it comes to apparel. A lot of their stuff is the same stuff they've offered in their team shop for years. They just, recently, within the last 2 years, really shook up their jersey. I mean, they had a t-shirt still up to about 3 years ago, I believe, when they finally switched over to those amazing Cloud9 blue and whites. Now they have the reverse jersey that's black and blue, which looks absolutely unreal. Team Liquid's really the only one that would challenge Fnatic when it comes to the clothing line, just because, Team Liquid is branding like that. And even Double Lift has launched his own clothing brand through Liquid also. So that would be the one organization I really think would give Fnatic a run for their money. But when it comes to Fnatic gear, though, the keyboard, the mouse, no other organization's doing that. Everyone else has that partnership either with Razer that gets replaced every 3 months, or Logitech that lasts you years and years and years, or HyperX, to name some other. You know, they partner up with those organizations. They don't have their own brand. Fanatical went out and did their research, asked a lot of pros, developed their own keyboard, their own mouse, and it's working. It's working. Joey, I know when you built your computer, that's one of the things you first looked at was a Fanatic Gear keyboard and mouse. And I'm sitting here going like, Logitech, hello. But that's fine. You know, as a Fanatic fan, that's what they're banking on, is that Fanatic fans will go get the keyboard, get the mouse, and then talk to their friends about how great this is and how it does hold up to a Logitech, how it does hold up to a Razer and to a HyperX and all the other kind of peripherals makers out there. So that's kind of like that's a great way to kind of expand yourself through a product that really no one else is challenging you for. Those are the two areas I think Fanatic can really do some major damage in North America and win some fans over.
Right. I think Rockhat is the only other organization that builds their own products. And with that being said, I don't even think they're competing in anything anymore. I think they pretty much just moved to just products at this point.
I remember I picked up a Rockhat mouse for like $15 one time.
Hey, there you go.
It was okay. It died, but it was okay.
Well, I mean, everything's going to die at some point.
Yeah, it shouldn't die after 5 weeks of play, though. I mean, look.
Okay, I didn't have a timeline.
I'm not the Rockhat LEC team here. You know, I go past 5 weeks.
Ooh, that was a very big dig. And obviously, they did not make their way back, so they did not do well enough.
Just saying.
But yeah, I think Fanatic Gear and Fanatic Apparel, I think we both agree on it. It sounds like that is the way to move as they continue to expand. With that being said, I think Asia is the opposite. Yes, you can continue to push those two lines, but I think in Asia, there's a lot more options for team development as well. They already have a Dota 2 team over there in the Southeast Asian region. Obviously, Korea is pretty built up. China is pretty built up, but there's a lot of Southeast Asian particular region, and like Vietnam. I think Malaysia is another team over in that general area that's looking to continue to build up esports. So there's a lot of opportunities down there in particular that I'm seeing the option to add teams, add players, maybe even add streamers. So I think Asia will look different as far as their plans go compared to North America. Last but not least, with this Fanatic announcement, Fanatic founder Sam Matthews will become CEO again. He is moving from the chair, while former CEO Wouter Steffers is stepping down after 4 years. Nick Fry, who I believe they brought in about a year ago at this point, the former Mercedes F1 CEO, has been named the chairman, with Effect TV founder Glenn Calvert being named the chief operating officer. So a little shakeup going on there at Fanatic. I really like this move in particular. With Sam Matthews moving back to CEO, that makes me think he's going to be more hands-on once again. He's obviously been hands-on in the chairman role, but at the same point, now moving back into the CEO role, he's going to be more focused on the vision, I feel like, overall. So I think that's going to be a really good move for Fanatic in general, as well as Sam. With Nick stepping back, or taking a different step, I guess you can say, in the chair role, I think that's going to give him a bigger overview of the company and the business aspect of the company, which I think is what he did really well with Mercedes F1. So I'm expecting good things going on there as well. So I like these moves in particular. I think a reshuffle is a good thing for Fanatic. Obviously, they're doing very well as an organization, but continuing to make things change, continue to keep things fresh as they build into this new real generation of esports, in a sense, I think it's going to be good moves overall. And then we have another Series round funding with Immortals over here on the North American side. They've completed 30 million Series B round funding, which is very big money coming over there. 11 million more than Fnatic made in their Series A funding. Immortals has rebranded to Immortals Gaming Club and acquired Brazilian competitive gaming platform Gaming Club. And I think, or Gamers Club, excuse me. I think that's going to be a good move as well. We see Immortals continuing to invest in the Brazilian scene, which is very interesting to me. MIBR now down there. Luminosity Gaming they invested in at one point, which is now MIBR, or the team that was performing under that name is now MIBR. Gamers Club, another big investment down there. So I'm thinking Immortals is going to continue to buy into that South American region in particular, and that's something we really haven't seen out of many other esports organizations. So I'm interested to see how the investment's going to go. Obviously, Brazil is definitely making their name, at least as an up-and-coming region in League of Legends and CSGO, but they haven't really touched too many other titles to my knowledge yet. So I think it's a very early investment, but I could see this paying off down the road. On top of that, John, this also moves founder, Noah Winston. He is now the former CEO as of December 2018, and now they are moving him once again as he is actually stepping down from a managerial role in the company altogether. He'll still be involved because he is a major stock or major shareholder of the company stock. With that being said, he refused to comment on being moved out of that managerial position.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad to see Noah go. He's there from the beginning, really helped bring Immortals in with a bang into the esports world. Really, the biggest thing that you can think of is Huni and Rainover in their, at the time, the NALCS team when they first came out there, and they were just absolutely demolishing people in the NALCS. They didn't have a perfect season. They ended up losing the game, but then, you know, the favorites into the playoffs, they ended up choking the playoffs a little bit. But that team came in with a bang and won a lot of people over. That organization did a lot of things right. So kudos for Noah for that. I feel like Immortals did get the short end of the franchising straw from Riot when they did go that direction. Immortals, also the parent company of the LA Valiant. So they're in Overwatch League as well. So Immortals have really done quite a bit for their short amount of time being in the esports world. So it's really great to see Immortals do that well. But that was at the... Yeah, that was with Noah at the reins of that organization. So it is sad to see him step down. And I believe, you know, we like you said, we don't have a reason as to why he stepped down. But we'll be keeping an eye out for that. But it is sad to see Noah go. But Joey, I want to talk about this name change. So they're keeping Immortals, but they're adding Gaming Club at the end. Kind of like a European soccer team where they add FC or something like that after, their title. So it's like or in front, like FC Bayern or Barcelona FC. You know, it's for football club. This is now Gaming Club. So are they going to go by Immortals GC or are we actually going to be officially calling them from now on Immortals Gaming Club?
So I think overall we're still going to call them Immortals in particular scenes. At the same point, I'm so questioning this move. Like, I don't like the sound of Immortals Gaming Club, but at the same point, from a business perspective, I think it's the right move. Because you're looking at, they were originally Immortals LLC, I think. So I don't know if this changed the LLC name as well, or if they're sticking with Immortals there. But overall, adding Gaming Club to me summarizes and says, hey, we're looking at gaming and esports. We're not looking at anything else with this particular company. And it expands the Immortals brand to really cover that Los Angeles Valiant name as well. Because they're not anything to do with Immortals. They're Valiant, not Immortals. So I think adding GC does expand that a little bit. At the same point, it doesn't quite umbrella it as cleanly as it could with a different name change. But if you're going to continue to expand to different leagues, maybe Call of Duty is another league they might look into, and that one's probably going to be location-based as well. So as you continue to expand to these different leagues, you're not going to be able to carry a Fnatic, a Cloud9, a Team Liquid as cleanly into these other areas. So I think expanding with this Gaming Club name broadens that umbrella, at least from a tactical standpoint, or if we're really getting grammatical, it feels like it expands it a bit more than Immortals by itself does.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. So when I was reading, these articles earlier today and saw, you know, obviously this name change for Immortals Gaming Club, I couldn't help but think of that one bar we have in Washington, D.C. here in our own backyard, the Players Club, which, if you don't realize that it is an old school bar and arcade kind of club, you think it's a club of something completely different than video games. This is kind of the same thing. Immortals Gaming Club. It's going to be so easy for people to think it's Immortals Gamers Club or something like that. And it's going to have that same kind of like eyebrow raising moment where it's kind of like, what do you mean by gamers? And what do you mean by Immortals? Like, I don't know. To me, it just feels just so... it's like right up there with Dignitas and their new rebranded logo. It's like, okay, I see where you're going with it. I don't like it. And I wish I could do a great Torbjorn impression so I could be like, I don't like it. You know, however he says it in the game. But it's just, it's weird. Gaming Club. I don't know. We're not sold on it, Joey. We're not sold.
I mean, I'll have to say, though, Gaming Club and Gamers Club sounds a little bit better than mistaking Players Club for the other kind of club that could be.
Don't hate the player, hate the game, Joey.
Yeah, it's a little bit more PG-13 going this way. With that being said, though, like I said, I think it helps envelop all of their different gaming teams, as well as, like, if you just look at Immortals, if I'm going to Google search Immortals, you're going to pull up movies. You're going to pull up Greek and Roman mythology. Like, there's just so many different things you can pull up that way. If you add a GC or add a gaming club to the end, once they continue, like, refining their searches and different things like that, I think it will be easier and cleaner. For investors, for new people trying to get into esports and search the name. Like, obviously, these are small things here and there, but they can lead to more marketing down the road. So I think in this expansion, it makes it a bigger umbrella, also cleans up their search terms, makes them a little easier to find for those people who are not as Google efficient, I guess you could say.
So using that logic, Cloud9, since the TV comedy, I think it's called, like, Shopper's Market or Supermarket or something like that, the fictitious store in that TV show is called Cloud Nine. So you're saying Cloud Nine should be rebranded as Cloud Nine Gaming Club? Oh, I can't even say it with that one.
I think Cloud Nine is big enough that they don't need to. Like, I feel like Cloud Nine has made the name Cloud Nine. Like, when I search Immortals, let's see, 5, 7, 10.
Live.
I'm through the whole first page of Google and I do not have Immortals popping up. But now if I type Immortals Gaming Club, it's the top one.
I don't want to know what pops up. With Joey, go ahead and type in Players Club without Washington, D.C.
No, I am not typing that one in.
No? Okay.
Not today, friends. But you see what I mean? Like, so it's going to, I can't think of the word, but it's going to specialize the search engine. There's a word for it. I just can't think of it. But it's going to make it easier to search for, especially for those new fans coming in, those new people looking to invest to continue to get into esports. If I'm just typing Immortals and it's hard to come up with, I think Immortals Gaming Club is going to specialize that. You're not going to have as much confusion in that area. The umbrella widens and everything looks nice and pretty.
And pardon me.
Again, sounds kind of funny, but hey.
Did we already hit on the investors for Immortals?
We have not.
Okay, well, do that real quick because I want to make a really bad joke here.
Okay, the investors in the funding round for this Series B funding round include stakeholders of AEG, Lionsgate, the Milken family, Steve Kaplan, and Meg Whitman, as well as new investors, John Griffin, March Capital Partners, among others. So all those initial investors are reinvesting. They're continuing to up their investments, while those last few names are new investors to the company.
So Steve Kaplan, Jeff Kaplan's brother. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Who knew? Steve Kaplan, Jeff Kaplan's brother, is an investor into Immortals Gaming Club.
Wait, is this actually his brother?
No, it's not.
Okay,
Joey.
That's what I thought. I was like, where are you coming up with that?
With I'm making a joke.
Oh, right.
Oh, boy.
I was like, I don't think so, John. Okay, that makes sense.
Wait, really?
I'm as Tots would say. What did he say? Gullible? No, he said oblivious.
Oblivious, yes.
There you go. Additionally, Immortals is believed to be one of the organizations sizing up a bid for Infinite Esports and Entertainment as well. For those of you who don't know, that is the parent company for Optic Gaming as well as the Houston Outlaws. So, diving into this, Sean, I think it's a good move overall because it could help them get back into the LCS potentially with the Optic Gaming move. I don't know how Riot Games set up that particular structure, like if teams can just sell off their spot or if there has to be negotiations with the parent company or how all that's going to work. But it sounds to me like if they're ready to make this investment, that means they can just buy right into that franchise slot and everything will be good to go. On top of that, the Houston Outlaws presents another opportunity here. If they're buying that team, so they would own the players, to my knowledge, but they would also hit a issue because they would have two teams in the same league. So I think from there, then they would have to sell off that spot or they'd have to sell off Los Angeles Valiant, whichever one. I think they would keep the Valiant. But from there, they would have to resell that to another spot. And again, that hits Blizzard's rules. Are they allowed just to sell off a franchise spot, or does that have to go through a whole process as well? So a lot of interesting things going on here. It's going to be about a $150 million deal, I believe, if it goes through. But that is what some of this funding would go to as well. Anything else to touch on that one, sir?
No, it's way too messy at the moment. I'm going to wait for the Gamers Club to calm down here a little bit.
And from there, let's head on over. Continuing with the Overwatch League, the Overwatch League 2019 Grand Finals are set to be held in Philadelphia, if a recent rumor from Rod Breslau and ESPN is to be believed. John, if this is the case, I am hyped, and we are definitely making a road trip.
Joey, we've said that multiple times before. I am going to hold my breath until we actually commit to a road trip.
I'm ready to buy the tickets now. Once it's committed.
Yeah, no, Philadelphia is doing some great things in esports. The Fusion are getting their own arena, which if the artist rendition is anything like it's going to be, which if you know artist renditions, it's going to be nothing even close to it. It's going to look amazing. And Philadelphia doesn't really do anything like 50%. They usually go about 110. If you can take a look at some of their other entertainment facilities and stadiums they have there, it's all top notch. So I expect nothing less here. If this is going to Philadelphia, if the Overwatch League Grand Finals is going to Philadelphia, that's like, what, 2.5, 3 hours, maybe 4 on a bad day from the D.C. area. That's an easy, you know, 1 day road trip, 2 day road trip back and forth. You know, no big deal. I think it'd be great. I love the fact the East Coast is getting some love. Everything regular season wise is still always based on the West Coast. Hopefully season 3 in Overwatch League, they do fully 100% commit to home and away games. Sounds like they will be doing that, and hopefully they do go through with it. So far, it's been a huge success, so the East Coast may get a little bit more esport love here come season 3 for Overwatch League. But until then, I love the idea of these grand finals being on the East Coast for us East Coast esports fans out here. And definitely, Joey, I fully agree with you. 100% committed. If it is in Philadelphia, let's go.
Yeah, and do keep in mind they are doing home stands this year as well. I think there's one in Atlanta. I want to say it's like the first or second week of July.
Well, yeah.
So
yeah,
they're starting to try to branch out a little bit more. Like, they're getting there slowly. So yeah, they didn't completely abandon us just yet. We're going to get a little bit more than the Grand 1 Finals. But at the same time, having the Grand 2 Finals, I think, would be really good here as well. Just continue to really build out the brand on the East Coast. I would like to see something Midwest as well, like a Chicago, I think, would be kind of cool if we could eventually put
something
out there.
Chicago gets enough love.
Yeah, but I feel like the Midwest just kind of gets slammed. No one really goes there except for, what, League of Legends.
Flyover states, baby. Come on.
So we'll see what happens. But yeah, if it's in Philly, I think it's too close for us to ignore, to be honest. Psyonix has joined the Epic Games family. Oh, boy, this is quite the interesting topic. Psyonix, obviously the studio behind Rocket League, a mass popular game, continuing to grow as an esport, even though they don't know how to set up their schedule properly. But we'll talk about that on a different show. I think this is a great move by Epic. They're continuing to buy into brands and studios. To me, this makes me think of what Xbox has done. Xbox is buying out complete studios, playing with studios that already have well-established games or series or IPs, but also looking at studios looking to expand their collection, whether it be to add new staff and jump into new IPs, whether it be to continue to expand their portfolio with the staff they already have. I think this is a really good move by Epic, copying Xbox in that sense, or Microsoft, the overall company. At the same point, this is going to be a messier one. I think for their next game, it'll be easy for Psyonix to say, hey, we're owned by Epic, we're going Epic exclusive for the next game. I mean, that's going to happen regardless. But with Rocket League, it presents an interesting query, which we've talked about a lot, because they've already sold so many copies on Steam. To me, you have to leave it fully accessible on Steam. I think the game needs to be completely accessible, as well as all the in-game items and purchases that people have bought via Steam. But at the same point, if you really want to, and I believe this is what they're going to do at this point, is they're going to cut off any further Steam purchases at a certain date and say, hey, you can only buy from the Epic Game Store for Rocket League at this point moving forward. Correct?
Yeah, and that's the problem. First off, when this announcement came out, in the press release, they had the frequently asked questions section that answered zero questions that anybody really wanted to know. Then 4 hours after the announcement, they said, oh, we will continue to fully support the Steam version of Rocket League. Now, here's my question, and I may be looking at the glass being half empty here, but you cannot sit here and tell me this is not a legitimate option for Epic now. You offer the same game on two platforms. You now own the studio that created Rocket League, manages Rocket League, tweaks Rocket League, and does everything for Rocket League. And now you're going to say you're going to support your competitor's version of that game also? To me, this seems like the whole console versus PC debate, where, take Overwatch, for example. If there's any kind of update to the game, PC gets it way before anybody else on console does. And it works out on PC because obviously it's easier to patch and so on and so forth. And then once they have everything figured out, they roll it out to console a month or two later. That's what I have a feeling is going to happen here now that Epic is the exclusive holder to Rocket League. If you're going to want the recent version of Rocket League, up to date with all the cool new cars, skins, and everything else that they're throwing out there that you can get in crates in Rocket League, you're going to have to get an epic version of the game. Because I have a very, very strong feeling that if you still play the Steam version of the game, you may not get some of these cosmetics that come out. You may not get the opportunity to do certain weekly contests and everything until a week or two, 3 weeks, maybe a month later when they finally roll that same update out to Steam. The idea of saying that your competitor is going to fully support their game and their game on another platform, to me, doesn't make sense. And the first move, Joey, you hit the nail right on the head. They're going to cut off sales of Rocket League on Steam. That's the first sign that they are going to fully support the Epic version and then think of the Steam version second fiddle to everything. That's my biggest fear.
Okay. I feel very strongly about this one. So overall, I'm okay if they cut it from Steam from there. If they say, hey, new purchases have to be made from the Epic Game Store, I completely get it. If you add a few cosmetics that are exclusive, maybe a new car you can only buy through the Epic Game Store, I'm okay with it. But if they completely cut off or they delay releases like that for the Steam Store, I think that is Epic shooting themselves not only in the foot, but into a wall that hits their head as well. I mean, Rocket League has sold so well on Steam. I don't have the numbers, but I know it's up in the millions of copies that have sold on there. Why cut off an audience you're already building? For me, if I'm the one doing this, I say, hey, Steam, you can keep everything. In fact, I might even consider still selling from their store. Why not continue to build up the audience you already have? And that gives you a new avenue to advertise your new game that's going to come out, whatever Psyonix releases next. Bring those people to the Epic Game Store. Don't piss off millions of people before the next game is even released. I want to keep my fans engaged. I want to keep everyone continuing to build into the company, continue to build into the Rocket League brand, and then hope to carry them over to whatever new game I add, whatever ways I continue to change Rocket League. There is no reason to completely go all out here. A few cosmetics, maybe say, hey, you can only buy from the Epic Game Store as far as the game itself goes at this point, but still allow Steam to get full updates when Epic Game Store gets updates, still allow crates and key purchases to be done or whatever can be done over there. Battle Pass should be the same. If you move everything over, I think you alienate way too many people. And yes, there are Rocket League faithful out there that'll continue to play regardless. But if you continue to cut at it, I think you lose millions of people making that move. And I think that would really impact negatively as far as Psyonix goes moving forward. At the same point, Epic is not known for the greatest decisions. We've seen it with Fortnite competitive. Obviously, the World Cup is doing well. But look at a lot of these other Fortnite competitions. Who makes major changes the day before competitions? Well, Epic does. And people have spoke out about it. And they continue to do it like four or five tournaments back to back to back. So they really could care less about esports. And I'm hoping it's not the same thing here with this move. Obviously, we know they don't care about Steam very much, but at the same point, I hope they do care about the gamers, the players of the game, and I hope they start to look at this like, hey, let's not alienate this whole huge population by making this a completely exclusive move. Let's add a few things here and there for late buyers that want to support us. At the same point, don't kill it off.
I think they're going to do it. I have this really sickening feeling in my gut that Epic will eventually pull the plug on the Steam version of this game. You know, I mean, Joey, it's kind of like the one. Here's my biggest thing. Joey, you've talked about how you wanted to hold off buying Rocket League until the Rocket ID or whatever you can bring over from your Xbox version of Rocket League to PC because you had all the cosmetics, all the cars, you know, all the cool things you wanted. You wanted to be able to access that on PC. You were like, why do I have to buy another copy of the game? I should just be able to transfer everything over. If Epic wants to make it exclusive, I think the only way around it is by offering the people on Steam who already have the version of the game that have everything on it already a clean transfer over to the Epic version of Rocket League with all their cars, all the cosmetics, everything they've already earned, all their stats, without having to buy the game again. If you force people to buy the game again, if you eventually cut off support to Rocket League on Steam, if you start playing the Steam version as second fiddle to the Epic version, and you force people to buy a second version of the game, I don't know if I'd buy a second version of the game to Epic. I'm already not a huge Epic fan. I don't like what they're doing with Fortnite. I don't like how they're essentially demolishing that esports scene just by being ignorant is what it really comes down to. I feel like there's a lot of potential for the esports scene for Rocket League with this move to Epic. But at the same time, Epic hasn't shown me anything other than failure. It took Apex Legends for them to really make a huge major change in Fortnite. It took competitors literally popping up overnight, taking their numbers away for them to start making changes to a game that became incredibly stale. Now Fortnite has hamster balls. It doesn't even make sense. But it took all of that for Epic to really start making these changes. Epic is very stubborn and set in their ways, which I feel like I have a lot of people backing me in my camp here when I say I'm incredibly nervous for the Steam version of this game. I feel like they're going to pull the plug on it sooner rather than later, and it's going to alienate a lot of people. And I feel like they're going to do it because at the end of the day, they're still making $300 million a month off of Fortnite. And they can do that. Name one other company that can make major changes to a game that's worth millions and millions and millions of dollars 24 hours before a multi-million dollar tournament and get away with it. I really don't know. I mean, NBA 2K League took an absolute shellacking when they made a change to I think it was like a stiff arm move that was built into the game that they couldn't patch out of the game, even though they play on a PC. They couldn't patch out of the game. It is a legal button combination that they could use in game. They said if you use that in game, you'll be suspended or something absolutely outrageous like that 3 days before the start of their next week. That was absurd. NBA 2K League is struggling already as it is. You make crazy moves like that, saying in-game moves that are built into the game that you will not patch out, make that illegal. That is almost you are just trying to doom your own game. Epic does the exact same thing, but because millions and millions and millions of little kids play this game and con their parents out of $20 and $30 every week, they're making Epic $300 million. They do not care less about Rocket League. You know, if they build it into something big for esports, great, awesome. I'm a huge fan. I love Rocket League. But as soon as they pull that plug on Steam, and it's going to come. That's my gut feeling. It's going to come. As soon as they pull that plug, I'm done with it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I think the NBA 2K League comparison is a bit different. That is removing something from the game, but leaving it in the game and just saying, hey, you can't use it.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like a lot of the stuff Epic has done is they take out a weapon completely, which is somewhat similar, or they add a freaking weapon in. Like, you add the disco grenade or whatever in right before tournaments. Like, things like that are just so epic. Like, epic, ha, pun intended. Not really, but anyway. Anyway, so they're making crazy changes, which is obnoxious. But back to the whole Rocket League Psyonix thing, I think this could work. I do have plenty of concerns. One thing I do think that's going to be very positive from this is the way we see the Rocket ID made. Rocket League and Psyonix have not been able to deliver on the Rocket ID the way they promised. Yes, we can play the same thing here and there, but we haven't been able to transfer items cleanly. I think this move will allow that. We've seen Fortnite do it very well. I think having that power behind them with Epic Games already knowing the formula, they'll be able to recode it and match it up with Rocket League much easier than we could have expected before. So it will be easier to get those items that I've wanted from my previous account. At the same point, I don't have an issue paying for it on another platform if it's console versus PC. My biggest issue would come if I have to pay for it on the same platform twice. I don't want to spend $15 to $20 more on Rocket League to have two versions on PC. That to me is obnoxious. Even if they added a sale to cut that price in half, I really just don't think it's worth it to buy into the Epic Game Store. I mean, Epic has so many issues with hackers currently that it doesn't run as cleanly as Steam. The mod community is not as available as it is on Steam. There's just so many different things missing from the Epic version. So I really hope we don't see a complete move over. I hope they do split this up. I hope they do give the Steam fans and players some love still. Obviously, Epic and Steam are not getting along all that great, but at the same point, there are just so many players invested. I hope they really think this move through. We touched on it a bit with Fortnite. Fortnite Season 9 is set to begin May 9th. John, any expectations for Fortnite Season 9?
No, because Fortnite has absolutely blown away any kind of predictability to this game whatsoever. I believe I read something about a volcano and Tilted Towers. Hey, Tilted Towers is getting demolished again. I feel like that was such a Season 2 move, bro.
season two of you.
So season two. then we had a UFO. Then we had an earthquake. Now we have a volcano. We had, you know, it's, look, hamster balls. Joey, I'm going to say it again. There's hamster balls in the game now. I think the sandbox mode is great. I think it's absolutely outstanding. I love seeing the player-created content that for like levels that they've created through the sandbox mode and everything that Epic's put in for Fortnite. I love that idea of it. But like for seasons, like to me, I'm not excited about seasons anymore. Like you have a theme, you put out skins, you put out cool little things, you make small little tweaks to the game cosmetically. But at the end of the day, there's nothing different about it. And then you put a hamster ball in it and you're just like, okay, this is weird. You have golf carts and you can jump through flaming hoops on the golf course because, you know, that's Fortnite, apparently. That's weird. Airplanes were great. What did they do? The community loved it. They took it out. Shotguns, community loved it. What did they do? Took it out. I don't know what to expect with Epic anymore. I don't know what to expect with Fortnite anymore. I'm just probably going to uninstall Fortnite at the end of the day, just because when it comes to battle royales, I don't find it interesting. I don't find it fun anymore. If I'm going to play a battle royale game, I'm going to play Apex. I'm going to play something that actually feels like a game versus just, I don't know what to call Fortnite anymore. It's weird.
I mean, I agree with you on a lot of cases, but at the same point, they see huge upsurges every time a new season comes out. They're already bringing in so much money month to month, and that just continues to expand as these seasons go. Yeah, it's going to drop off here and there later in the seasons, but I think the seasons help reinvigorate the energy around the game as well as the competitive scene, even though they do make those bad moves. With that being said, I think the model works. They've seen it work over and over. They've seen it work 8 times. Why wouldn't it work a 9th? And that's why you'll continue to see seasons in Fortnite. Apex Legends is not on the show notes, but I think they need to look at the way they do seasons as well. If you're going to sell a battle pass, you actually have to have interesting things. I don't really want to pay $10 to $20 to get titles. Like, come on, people. I need something more than that. Maybe more interesting skins, whether it be for the characters or the weapons. But yeah, I really don't care for counters and titles. Like, level 99, you spent 40,000 hours playing this game, and now you can say you've got 5 kills in this area of the map. Well, congratulations. I hope you enjoyed that investment. Halo, the Master Chief Collection, will have cross-progression between PC and console. So, obviously, your leveling here is going to work console to PC, like we've seen with some of the other Xbox games they put between the two. I like that move. At the same point, cross-play is being evaluated but not currently planned for at launch. John, we've went back and forth on this between us, between viewers, listeners. What are your thoughts on cross-play between PC and console, especially with a legendary shooter like Halo?
Look, I guess I'm old school in this sense that I feel like keyboard and mouse is better than controller. I talked to my nephew, who's 9, who swears up and down that controllers are better than mouse and keyboard. I think it's just because he doesn't know how to use them properly when it comes to first-person shooters. And that's not a knock at my nephew. It's just he doesn't have a gaming computer. He has an Xbox. So, you know, I mean, he's comfortable with that. But when you take a look at what you can do, you can only change the sensitivity on your controller so much. You can only learn how to change things on a console so much that when you go up against someone on a mouse and keyboard, I mean, look, I'm not saying a console player can't play on PC and a PC player can't play on console, but to me, the games feel incredibly different between the two. I do feel like PC has an advantage. I feel like you're able to have more key binds. I mean, obviously you have a controller that has what, a total of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 buttons, 2 joysticks, and a D-pad on a standard Xbox controller versus a keyboard that if you're watching on the Twitch stream right now, that is a 10 keyless keyboard, and you see how many keys are still on there. That's how many different macros, you know, you can program to your keyboard. Same thing with your mouse. Exactly. There is such an advantage to a mouse and keyboard to a console player. It just, to me, I'm very old school. I feel like PC has a major advantage over that. And I feel like that's a great way to kind of alienate both communities by putting PC against console in the same realm and trying to see if they're equal. I really don't think they're not. I really don't think they are. I feel like you have to keep the two separate just because it's there is a huge difference.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the hybrid approach here. I think for custom games and Forged mode, you should open it up for private lobbies. Mm-hmm. Like, if I want to play with friends on Xbox, I think you open it up for privates, allow them in. You're obviously buying in by saying, hey, here's an invite. You're willing to take that chance. If they're going to accept it, they know they're at a disadvantage. With that being said, I played Call of Duty at the highest level. I was up there with pro players, and I played on 10 sensitivity, which was the highest at the time for Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. I was extremely fast. I mean, it was one tap of that stick, and I was around three times. But the amount of hours I had to put in just to get that good with that accuracy at that speed was so, so much time. With PC, I think I picked it up within the first week or two. Just that level of speed on a mouse and keyboard. It's just, it's a night and day difference. And the precision you have with the click of a mouse compared to trying to level out two analog sticks at the same time to hit someone in the head, it's just, it's a night and day difference completely. And the biggest thing for me is the level of opposition you're playing against. On a PC, when you're playing at that high level, because you're able to maintain it so easily, so is everyone else. There are so many other players that are better. So I would say the average player on PC plays so much better than the average player on console, because of the ease of the mouse and keyboard, and that's easily going to come out in competitive matches. At the same point, the highest level console players, I think, are extremely talented if you can get the accuracy down at the high level sensitivities. If you're a really good player and you play on a low sensitivity, there's just no way you could compete against PC players. It's just, it's not possible. You can be a pro player at sensitivity 3, you might be great on console, but against PC, you're never going to even see the shots coming at you. So now, for me, it's just night and day.
I feel like the one game that may be the exception here, if we're just taking a look at like at all games, and we're not just limiting it to FPSs, I feel like Rocket League is the one game where the controller is the advantage. It is just asking way too much for your fingers and your hand to work with on a mouse and keyboard in Rocket League. I've tried playing Rocket League on a mouse and keyboard. I was decent, not pro decent, but decent. Switched over to a console, switched over to a Xbox controller on PC. Night and day difference. Play 100 times better, easily, almost instantly. So not saying there are games, that there aren't games that a controller is better. But when it comes to shooters, FPSs, there's definitely a huge difference between the two.
Right, and I'd even expand that. I would say racing games as well are better on controller, unless you're going to use a steering wheel. I would also go and say fighting games, like a Mortal Kombat, is going to be better on controller unless you're using the sticks, like the gamepad. So I think there are a few advantages here and there. Heck, even Bejeweled maybe is easier on controller.
Oh, my.
You never know. Probably not.
Oh, my.
But I'm just saying there are different things, like puzzle games, racing games, fighting games. I think there are some advantages here and there per controller. So they are out there, but the controller's expanding, John. Microsoft has patented an Xbox Braille controller for visually impaired gamers. This, to me, is the perfect follow-up for their Gaming for Everyone campaign, and also their release to the controller last year, the adaptive controller, to help people that are missing limbs or not have full control over certain parts of their body to open up abilities to play games. This, to me, is the next step forward in that particular campaign series, if you want to say. Gaming for Everyone. The blind still cannot play with the adaptive controller. They can play it, but it's not easy to play. Obviously, things have to be explained much easier. But if you add Braille to a controller, this does open up a whole lot more options because they can easily find where the keys are themselves without having to really look around. And it looks like it's going to be more paddle-based as well. We do have an image if you want to post that in Twitch chat. So I like it. I like the idea of it. I think it looks very complicated for us. Obviously, John and I are not very good at reading Braille at this point in time, and hopefully we don't have to learn that anytime soon. But I think it is good to continue to allow more options for the visually impaired, for the disabled, for any type of handicapped people out there to open up new options to play games, I think is a really good opportunity. Gaming should be for everyone, and to me, this controller is another great move by Microsoft to open it up even more.
So if you're not taking a look at that link here on the Twitch feed, just real quick, I'm going to unplug my Xbox controller here real quick and just show you. So what makes it really different here is on the backside of your Xbox controller, they're going to put paddles, three paddles on each side of the controller. That's going to be used for what it's being described here in this article as kind of like typing pads. Like they'll be able to communicate via Braille through those pads, like through, you know, okay, you know, to spell out A, I need, you know, two dots on the top, one dot in the middle, and then one dot on the left. I'm not familiar with Braille, but that's essentially how it's going to look. And then they're going to have refreshable Braille blocks, if you will, that will change based upon what they need to do. So they can feel the Braille on the back of your Xbox controller, kind of that flat part where your battery pack would go. That's essentially where they're going to put it. And it honestly, looking at it, it looks intimidating because I don't understand it. But it's really cool because it really does open doors for, you know, gamers that are visually impaired. This is a great way for them to, you know, open themselves up to the gaming world. They can communicate. They'll be able to play. I'm curious as if there's going to be any Braille built in on the front so they can tell, you know, X, A, B, and Y buttons, the D-pad, directionals, and everything. I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to play out. But this is just another step of Microsoft really reaching out to a segment of the gaming population that has been underserved for so long. First with the adaptive controller and now with a Braille controller coming out. So really cool to see this patent come out. And I can't wait to see when this prototype comes out and we can actually see it firsthand.
Yeah, and Twitch chat makes a good point as well. Squirrel over there. What type of games can blind gamers play? John, I honestly don't know. I'm assuming if you're a blind gamer in particular, you're probably playing with someone else, whether it be another family member, whether it be a friend, whether it be someone else online, maybe communicating to you through a headset if you're not deaf as well. So I think there are options out there to play with friends, but by a standalone blind gamer, I can't really think of any games off the top of my head that you could really do it cleanly with.
So we had a friend that worked at the Microsoft store up in Pentagon City, and I had a conversation with him prior to him leaving the company. He had a demo with a gamer who was blind using the adaptive controller, and they were playing a racing game, and essentially what would happen was he would describe to him the racing game, and he would use the controller himself. So he's saying, okay, you have a straightaway coming up, and in 3 seconds we're going to need to make a turn to the left. 1, 2, 3, turn left, and then he would hit whatever button he needed to hit on the adaptive controller to turn left and play that way. And he said the kid absolutely loved it. It was the first time he could actually feel like he understood what was going on. He needed that person there to explain the game as it was happening and kind of be that narrator, if you will, to the game that they're playing. But he could physically still control what was happening in the game. So he was able to have that physical gaming experience with the help of a narrator kind of painting that picture for him in his mind. Other than that, I don't know how it's going to work for first-person shooters, for sports games. I'm not sure. I would hope a company like Microsoft would be able to possibly. I really don't see I feel like maybe like Jack in the Box games, like quiz kind of games would be a lot easier. But anything that does require vision to really understand and play the game, I feel like that's something where Microsoft still may have some hurdles to get over when it comes to assisting the visually impaired parts of this community.
Yeah, and who knows, with all these new studio acquisitions, with Xbox ID growing at the rate it has, maybe they do have certain type of games in development that would be easier for something like this. So I'm excited to see how their game catalog continues to expand to the blind population, to the deaf population as well. Up and coming, we've spoke about it, I think, 3 or 4 weeks or episodes in a row. Rocket League Season 7 World Championship will be held in Newark, New Jersey in June. So again, guys, just about a month away from that particular championship. John and I attended, I believe it was Season 4's championship in Washington, D.C. It was a blast. So if you were in the area of Newark, New Jersey, I highly recommend checking it out. It was a ton of fun. In fact, supposedly Ovechkin was in the box above us as well, or right near us. So a lot of people are into it, even big hockey players as well. IEM Sydney just wrapped up, and Team Liquid is your champion in CSGO. They took down Fnatic 3-2. John, I thought this was a really exciting series. Team Liquid really playing some good CSGO right now. Fnatic as well, they've not been the prime or in the prime role that they have been in recent years. They've been falling a little apart these last couple of years, but they are finally working their way back into the scene. They look pretty good against Team Liquid, but Team Liquid does slide out with the 3-2 victory, a very well-deserved win over in Sydney.
Team Liquid didn't choke. Yay! No, it's great. You know, Fnatic really making their presence felt again in CSGO. Really an organization that, you know, went through ups and downs, but their ups and downs is like everyone else's ups when it comes to CSGO, I feel like. They've been consistent for years. They've had roster changes, but they're still consistent, still competing for these major title. These major tournaments. Team Liquid, it's a beautiful meme that they choke internationally, but they didn't this time. They beat Fnatic 3-2. So Twitch chat saying yet ... Look, you can't choke if you've already won the championship. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, they can drop the trophy and the bus run over it. I guess you can call that choking also.
I think that's happened before.
It's happened in a lot of sports, and I think in esports too. But it's not. What was it? I heard Rob Gronkowski. Whatever the retired guy from the Patriots name is, was playing baseball with the Super Bowl trophy earlier, and like put like this massive dent in it because I don't know, a baseball hurling at you at 80 miles an hour being hit against not solid metal would never put a dent in it. Look, that's something that, you know, Team Liquid with this meme could possibly see. You know, hopefully the CSGO team isn't playing any kind of traditional sports with their championship trophy. Just add that to their spring LCS championship trophy there next to all the other trophies also. But no, it's cool. It's cool to see Team Liquid. This whole thing went the entire distance, all five games. Really exciting going back and forth. A lot on the line there. And it was really cool to see Team Liquid come out on top.
Well, and Team Liquid better keep that trophy away from Ovechkin, because since he didn't get his Stanley Cup this year, he could be looking for another trophy to drink out of. Hey-o. Stage 2 playoffs for the Overwatch League are taking place. John, they start up Thursday, May 9th. What are we looking at?
All right, so the 8 teams that qualified for the playoffs, we're going to go from bottom to top. We're going to start with the team that just made the cut, the Shanghai Dragons. This is not your season 1 Shanghai Dragons. The Shanghai Dragons, Joey, are in the playoffs. I repeat, they are in the playoffs. It is incredibly weird to say, but I'm incredibly happy to say it. The Hangzhou Spark in 7th, Dallas Fuel in 6th, New York Excelsior in 5th, the LA Gladiators in 4th, London Spitfire in 3rd. And then there's technically a tie for 1st place between the Shock and the Titans, but because of map differential, 2nd place goes to Vancouver Titans and 1st place to the San Francisco Shock, who did not drop a single map all stage, which is pretty impressive. So the Shock looking incredibly, incredibly strong. Titans looking just as strong also. I have a feeling that's going to be your matchup in the finals. That's going to be absolutely exciting. Rascal has been completely reinvented from his time down in Contenders after being released from the Spitfire and being bounced around a couple teams in season 1. Great to see him playing incredibly well. The Titans really taking the scene by storm. A lot of people had a lot of hype around this roster as soon as it was announced for Vancouver. Vancouver just absolutely demolishing and owning a lot of people in Overwatch League. So these are your really two big teams to watch. Should have no issues making it all the way to the Final Four, both of them. But just to recap here real quick, Thursday, May 9th, the Dragons will go up against the Shock, and the Spark will take on the Spitfire. That is 9 and 11 p.m. Eastern time, so please adjust accordingly to your time zone of where you are in the world. And on Friday, May 10th, same time frames, 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. respectively for the New York Excelsior versus LA Gladiators. I almost said Galaxy. Wrong sport. Not even esports. Come on, Fiasco. Fuel and Titans at 11 p.m. Again, those are Eastern time, East Coast time. So, again, adjust those accordingly. I feel like these matchups are, you know, in the first round are going to be kind of predictable. Like, I feel like you can just take the higher seed and you're going to win. But after that, Come the second round, that's when things are going to start to get spicy in the semifinals. So definitely make sure you watch the semifinals on the 11th and the finals taking place on Sunday, May 12th.
Okay, one of these matchups actually I think is hard to predict, and that's the New York Excelsior and the Los Angeles Gladiators. So Gladiators finished above them with one win, but for me, this is the toss-up matchup. Who are you taking?
Now, when you take a look at map differential, there is a big difference here. There is a, so the Gladiators are plus 10, New York Excelsior are plus 14. The Gladiators map record is 19-9-1, while the Excelsior is 21-7-1. I just for New York, it feels like they may have had just a few matchups that a map just didn't go their way and ended up costing them that entire series. So I'm actually going to take New York Excelsior, the lower seed technically, just based upon map differential and the one loss here differential between the two. I feel like New York Excelsior can take down the LA Gladiators in this matchup.
I think so, too. I think New York, and they've been there before. They've shown that they can be there over and over again, as they did in Season 1. Both teams dropped a bad loss last week, L.A. to Boston and then New York to Atlanta. So neither team coming in very hot. I do think New York comes out on top, though, before they lose next round. On to League of Legends. EU Masters wrapped up last week. We had Misfits Premier take down Mad Lions EC2-0. In the semifinals, then SK Prime took down Fnatic Rising 2-0 in the semifinals, which landed us a Misfits Premier SK Prime final, which ended in a very exciting five-game series that ended 3-0. Guys, it was sweeps all throughout the finals here. This is so boring to me. Like, you have the best minds of Academy League of Legends really in Europe in this tournament, and you end up with two 2-0s and a 3-0 in the finals. Like, it felt so lackluster of an ending for EU Masters. I honestly feel like the stage really capped off at the group stage.
Yeah, it kind of did. It really did. I'm not going to lie, I didn't get to watch a lot. Time difference kind of sucks. But, really the play-in knockouts was really where the excitement was. Sort of, not really. Sweeps, 3-0, 3-1 in favor of Liquid and Flash Wolves. So two
not Liquid. Oh, you're talking MSI. You moved on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, wait. I completely jumped notes here. We're talking EU Masters.
EU
apologize.
Masters.
I scrolled a little too far down in our notes.
That was like Team Liquid in Europe?
No, you're good. Hey, Misfits Premier 3-0 over SK Prime. Let's just go with that and move on.
Yeah, good times. The thing that frustrates me as a Fnatic fan here, they whooped Misfits Premier in the group stage and did not get a chance to play them again. Then Misfits Premier goes on to a 3-0. That's just super disappointing to me. I think had we seen Fnatic against them, it would have been a better series. I think it could have gone five games, to be honest. At the same point, you got to earn your way to the finals. Fnatic Rising got whooped by SK Prime. SK Prime deserved to be there, and Misfits showed them why the group of death was with Fnatic and Misfits. Now we can move on to MSI, John. We are ready. Mid-season invitational play-in groups. For Group A, we have the Fongvu Buffalo 1907. I'll let you pronounce this one. This is one of your favorites.
Fenerbahce.
There we go. And then the Bombers at 2-4 in the group with Azuris Gaming wrapping up. Then for Group B, we had Vega Squadron, Detonation, Focus Me, that team from Japan who's made a lot of noise, Mega Esports, and Ince Esports coming from Brazil. The teams that made it out of the knockout stage, we had Vega Squadron finishing in first, Detonation Focus Me in second, Mega Esports in third, and Ince in fourth for Group B. Group A was Fongvu, then
Fenerbahce.
Hey, and Bombers, and then Azuris finishing in fourth in that
They're
group.
They're Turkish. Why do I do an Italian accent?
I don't know,
understand.
But it's been working for years, so why
for
not?
For years.
Then we move on to the play and knockouts. Team Liquid sitting there waiting for their opponent. They drew the Fongvu Buffalo from Vietnam. Fongvu made a ton of noise heading into Worlds last year. I believe it was Worlds. It was either that or MSI, but I think it was Worlds. I think they were in Group A at Worlds. But Fongvu, really exciting team for Vietnam. They were up against Team Liquid. And then the Flash Wolves, the other team waiting there for an opponent, took on Vega Squadron. John, what were the results?
Flash Wolves should be embarrassed. Embarrassed with this result. Yeah, they won. But they let Vega take a game off of them. It went four games. Like, what are they thinking? Flash Wolves, there's some vulnerability there. I'm watching you. I'm watching you. On the other hand, Team Liquid representing NA quite well right now with the 3-0 win over Fangvu Buffalo. They look good. They had some questionable plays. I did watch a couple of the VODs. But again, because of that time difference, I have not watched a lot. But Team Liquid did look pretty good against the Buffalo. But then again, it's Fangvu Buffalo. It's not SKT. It's not Gen G. It's not any team that, you know, you should really be celebrating the streets for yet. So typical results that does set us up for the final play, final spot in the group stage, which Vega Squadron and Fangvu Buffalo are going to play against each other for that final spot in the group stage.
Yeah, so I think this is really exciting. Fangvu Buffalo got annihilated against Team Liquid, but again, they showed they were really exciting to watch last year. On the other side, Vega Squadron here came out and gave a little flash to Flash Wolves, took a win off them with no one seeing it coming. So I think that's exciting as well. For me, I really want the Fangvu Buffalo to come out. I think they're the more exciting team to watch overall. They're a little bit more creative in their tactics. At the same point, Vega Squadron took down bigger names in the group stage, in my opinion. Fenerbahce has been around. They're pretty good for Fangvu. But on the Vega side, Detonation Focus Me, the Japanese team, looked really good last year for an up-and-coming team. At the same point, Ince is another team you cannot really sleep on. They've made noise at Worlds as well before. So for me, it's almost a coin toss who comes out of this. I think we see it going five games.
Now, here's my question for you real quick. G2 got the automatic pass for the LEC into the group stage.
Right.
Why didn't Team Liquid get the automatic pass into the group stage?
Team Liquid did not get the automatic pass because NA has not been a very good region the last couple of years.
Joey, yeah, you take your EU propaganda and you leave right now.
So you can actually accredit that to TSM, I believe, because TSM has performed so poorly at international events and NA as a whole. They got dropped down. I believe it was this last year at MSI that Europe ended up taking that final spot.
Seems like the only team in North America that can do anything in the international scene is Cloud9. Weird.
Yeah, it's not too pretty. And it's been like a couple years, I think, maybe 2 or 3 years that they look at. Yeah. But I think it was last year's MSI that they ended up saying, hey, Europe has surpassed NA's, I guess, strength of schedule or whatever you want to call it, strength of international competitions, and they end up getting that spot. And I believe it first came to play at Worlds last year because Fnatic ended up being Pool A or Pool 1 because of that particular change in MSI.
No, you're right. I just wanted you to pump your EU propaganda, as always. Which,
hey, I love NA. I'm all about C9. I used to be about TSM, but then I am not anymore by far.
And then you saw the light.
But I like C9. I like TL. I hope they do well. I hope TL wins. In fact, I'm not a big G2 fan because of what that whole drama between them and Fnatic. I think they're a great organization, but I would love to see G2 get their butts kicked, especially by Team Liquid. Though it would be entertaining to see rookie Smash Caps again. That's always entertaining as well now that he's not on a Fnatic roster. But overall, so SK Telecom, T1, G2 Esports, and Invictus Gaming will be waiting the additional winners. With Flash Wolves and TL making their way through, we have Fangvu or Vega Squadron. John, pick a team.
You know what? I'm going to say Fangvu just because it's fun. It's fun to say. And I like Buffalo Wings. That's about it.
Yeah, I like it. My heart is telling me Fangvu. My mind is telling me Vega, but I'm going to go Fangvu as well. I'm hoping they bring some of the exciting strategies we saw them bring out at Worlds last year. I want to see the Vietnamese team continue on. I want to see them make a big upset, and I would love to see them take down a bigger team later down the road. Hopefully not Team Liquid, though.
Watch it be Team Liquid.
Just that saying.
That would be the most Team Liquid thing ever, is if Fangvu somehow knocks Team Liquid out of MSI. It's so funny, but it's so believable. Please no, Team Liquid. Don't let that happen. For the love of NA, for all of your NA fans that are rooting for you, please don't.
So that will wrap us up on that, John. Games continue tomorrow, May 7th, with Fangvu Buffalo taking on Vega Squadron. That's going to be 6 a.m. for you East Coasters out there if you want to wake up for that one. Games are being played in Vietnam, so Fangvu does have the hometown or home team, home country advantage, at least for now.
Home field advantage. Okay, chat. Okay, Twitch chat. You can spell liquid without choke. Choke, the word choke is not even in liquid. But they do choke quite a bit. That's fine. Oh, I love that meme. I love the choking liquid meme. It's so good. It's so good. Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to reach out to us. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us and this show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. You can also find us streaming regularly on Twitch at twitch.tv/OTN_live. John teased it at the top of the show, but we are hoping that we'll have some emotes, our first round of emotes for you guys next week for the show.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor. Hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of the Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
Level Up.